A, he is going down. There's not a doubt in my mind. There were videos. That it was just insane. It's who's coming with him. I'm telling you, when I say the tip of the iceberg, the Titanic has nothing on what's about to go down.
You know,
Jay-Z, Beyonce.
You know, my timeline too now is half on Instagram is like all this Diddy stuff. It used to be all boxing, all football, yeah, all baseball, all that stuff. Diddy's like all over my timeline. I just stopped watching. I don't.
There's only one other person on the planet who's allowed to call him Sean Combs.
Who?
His mother.
Oh my gosh.
And Jay-Z. I'm telling you, man. Jay-Z went from almost 5 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah, that's weird.
A week later, how many did he have?
927,000.
You couldn't believe it when I said it to you.
I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it.
I'm telling you that I saw Michael Jackson conspiracies. I saw all, like, this whole R. Kelly, the web, this Aaliyah web.
Well, the Jay-Z one is bigger because it relates to the NFL. The NFL has empowered Jay-Z to put together the entertainment value, the entertainment shows, the halftime shows, and he's been picking who's going to perform at halftime or whatnot. He's a part of the NFL, and he's been a part-time owner of the NBA. He's been an ambassador with the NBA.
Oh.
Jay-Z's been infamous for sitting courtside at all these games. There's a trickle-down effect that goes into sports.
Oh, there's no question. And, like, there's this whole Dame Dash element to it as well.
He's a lunatic, but,
they painted him as a lunatic, but when you hear him talk now, it's like, maybe he was onto something.
He's been out there, but maybe he is onto something. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on there. But I will say,
the Kardashians are going down, too. Put it that way.
The Diddy stuff.
See ya.
There was somebody.
They've been laundering money. This thing is crazy.
There was somebody at during the Warriors game at NBC Sports Bay Area. No, this is not a King's Tale, but they were explaining how Diddy does this and does that and does this and was just saying it nonchalant. I was like, what? Laptops being destroyed, killing a person, killing data. I don't know, man. They may get Diddy out the pay. You know. 408, y'all think Diddy's even going to be alive to talk? That's a good point.
Look.
It's a good point.
All I know is that when they filmed that R. Kelly and Jay-Z video, it was on Epstein Island. It's the whole thing is crazy. Is now baseball and Puff Daddy stuff.
No basketball?
There is a lot of basketball talk.
By the way, we got an IU cut. Let me just play this because I do want to get some basketball. Matt Lively's coming up at 8:30,
okay.
Channel 5, KPIX. He had a smashing debut on the morning roast. So good, we had to bring him back. Well, Vern Glenn, we tried to get him on. He didn't pick up the phone. I don't know what the hell happened to Vern. He is getting up there in age, man. Sometimes you don't hear the phone. You know?
I didn't say that.
Vern, you know I love you.
Stop!
You know I love
Vern
you.
On Tuesday at the press conference.
Yeah, you know, Vern's still on the flip phone. Sometimes it doesn't ring, man. I love you.
I've had enough.
I love you, Vern Glenn. You know I do.
I've had enough. It is one of the all-time great drops on this show.
I've had enough.
The guy from Zach.
Matt George, I think his
name George.
Is.
Matt George. Your boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my boy. Yeah, I ran into him. What did I run into him? Was that Levi's? I think it was at Levi's Stadium for Jets Niners.
The King was waltzing by, and you said hello to one of the...
The King may waltz by to press box this Sunday, depending, because it's going to be very hot. And then it was like, yo, I'm not sitting in... No, you know what Anna said?
For me.
You know what Anna says? So she's coming to the Cal game with me, right? She's coming to the Cal Miami game. She goes, you know, I tell people all the time my favorite game was the Red Box Bowl because they had the bands play. I'm like, Anna, that was Oregon, Michigan State. The game was 7-6. It was one of the worst football games ever. And she goes, the live bands were great. I'm like,
my favorite game. I'm like,
that was not your favorite game.
The Red Box Bowl.
You just want to come to Cal Miami. Just admit it.
Not the NFC Championship games.
Not the Brock Purdy game.
Red Box Bowl.
Not the NFC Championship game that you won money on
because
you bet Lions in the first half.
Michigan State Spartans.
Anna did bet Lions first half in the NFC Championship game without my permission.
How did she bet it?
She created a Bovada account. She knows how to gamble. She also told me the Kings are going to win game 6 and chase it against the Warriors. I said, just bet me because they're not going to win. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want you to lose money. And the Kings won by like 20. And I was like, damn. it's weird. She doesn't know anything about sports, but she gets bets right. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
So mad.
So it ticks me off. I still don't know if Anna knows what a first down is. And yes, she knows how to make a bet.
She doesn't know what a first down is. She knows what a first down is.
I don't even want to. You have no idea. It's actually pretty
fun. We should actually get her on air and ask her basic sports questions.
Oh, dude. It's no, I'm not. No.
How many yards for a first down?
We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Because now you're inviting her onto the show. She knows she has no problem coming on the show.
I know.
She loves this stuff. She loves it. She wants to podcast right now.
I like seeing you as uncomfortable as I get when you play the Trey Lance video. Oh,
that's wrong. That's so wrong.
There ain't nothing you can do about it.
Well, real quick, before we get to basketball, I want to play some training camp stuff because the boys are talking.
Oh,
Kerr, Draymond. Oh, I love it, baby.
I love when Hoops Draymond plays back. Personnel and tells people what positions they are.
So he's got a comment here in Marcus Thompson's story. It's actually pretty funny. But before we get there, here's Ayuk asked about his boy Jaden Daniels' performance against the Arizona Cardinals, who the Niners are facing on Sunday.
He's balling. We've been watching that tape versus Arizona so far a couple times already today, so I'm sure we'll see it all week. But excited to see him on tape playing good football.
That's Brandon Ayuk. It's Brandon Ayuk, very short with his answers. Oh no! What is that? What are you doing, Chasky?
Just the people are sending videos and things and pictures. It's just hilarious. He was so happy. That was the happiest he's been all year discussing someone else's team. What was that?
Boy, I need his Q rating, man.
He cheered up. You know, if you want to get the best out of him for those podcasts, bring up the Commanders,
dude. Trent Williams out here battling toe injuries, IVs.
Wait, he's got a toe injury now?
No, he had one last week. Remember, he was questionable to play.
I thought it was still
injured. Did the IVs, you like...
12 games the fourth.
And Brendan Ayuk's taking all the bullets for everybody else. It's always one scapegoat. It's always one.
Gotta have one.
Last year was Clay Thompson. Like, Andrew Wiggins had career lows all across the board. Gotta blame Clay Thompson.
Wait a minute. We didn't crush Draymond last year?
Yeah, we did a little bit.
What are you talking about?
Draymond said we crushed him. So.
I mean, come on. Like, we crushed everyone.
Well,
that's what we do.
No, that's Jimmy.
Shut you talking to me.
No, I don't crush anybody, man.
It's Jimmy. It's Shanahan.
We have a Shanahan problem.
You.
No,
that's literally you.
No, it's not me. That was you. Jimmy. I mean, we won a damn playoff game and you're ready.
You can't even say it.
I don't even want to talk about this.
All I do is just assess what I'm seeing, and then now I'm a hater. It's like, I just watched the game that was played. I'm telling you what I thought I saw.
Sometimes people say, do you listen to your shows back? And I'm like, yeah, sometimes. And then we start crushing people. I'm like, oh, God, I got to go to Chase Center today. Oh, God. Oh, God, I got to go to Levi's and go to the locker room. Oh, God. And then I see some of these guys, and it's like they're staring through me knowing. Yeah, come in here, buddy. See, at least I faced the music.
Look, you got to do what I do. Just smile, dap up, keep it moving.
No, see, you get away with it. We'll get to Jason in the city.
Because I'm me.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, like, you said, Steph Curry's security guard.
Yeah.
I was like, we're rolling in the world. And da, 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 da. He goes, oh, yeah, you know Shasky. He's just, that's just who he is. He's just up and down.
That's what I'm saying.
And I was like, wait, that's okay?
Yes.
I was like, he goes,
because I'm authentic.
But then he grabs me on the shoulder. He says, you know, you got to watch what you say.
Exactly.
And he smiled at me ear to ear. And I was like, that's not fair.
See, I'm like, the way BPA operates on Twitter and the way I love it, I'm like that for you. I get to say all the things you wish you could say.
No, that's not true. There's some things you say that I'm like, whoa, I wouldn't say that.
You love it. So, like, for example, yesterday, Draymond Green is asked, and they're in Hawaii, and they're like, what is Jonathan Kuminga? You know, what position is
he? Well, let's play it.
Yeah, play the sound.
I think he's a three. It's always been my opinion. That's not going to change, I think. You know, to play the four, it requires a certain skill set. So oftentimes, people approach the four as if it's not a position. You think like, oh, I can just move a guy there. So it's a position that you have to know how to play. It's like, you know, you never hear... You don't think anybody can play point guard. The four is the same thing, you know? It requires a certain skill set, a certain knowledge, a certain understanding of that position to do that. He's never done it. Can he adjust and learn that? I don't know. Can a receiver learn how to be a quarterback in 2 years? So, you know.
So, that's about Kuminga. Thinks he's a three, not a four. Can't just play the four. He's not ready to play the four. Not a receiver, the quarterback, they got it, you know. It is what it is with that analogy.
Well, I would say to Draymond, no, actually, it's very similar to tight end, where a tight end can block a little here and there and run tight end routes, and I can also split them out wide. And I view Jonathan Kuminga very differently. I think he's a combo player. I think he can do both.
I do too.
And I think that it's self-serving for Draymond to say that, oh, no, he's not a four, because that might eat into some of his minutes.
Well, Draymond, yeah, and, you know, Steve Kerr mentioned yesterday, and look, Draymond's going to get his minutes. He's going to start.
For sure.
But I think what they're trying to do with Draymond Green, and Steve Kerr mentioned this with Will and the Dibs, and he mentioned it with the at the presser yesterday in Hawaii. Hey, look, man, we can't have Draymond Green play the five for extensive minutes. Not at this stage of his career. We need Draymond Green. So playing him extensively at the five is going to wear him out. And this team needs Draymond.
But here's the conundrum that they're in. The roster that they've built, and we've been talking about it in direct and indirect ways for 2 years. The roster that the Warriors have built, we know you can't have two or more non-shooters out on the floor simultaneously. So if
I think
Jonathan
of Marcus
Kuminga,
Richmond. What? I don't know why I think of Marcus Richmond when you say that. You can't have two non-shooters on the floor.
So if Draymond has to play the four for X amount of minutes to start a game, that means that you have Trayce Jackson-Davis starting the game, which I'm fine with because now I've got a defensive rating that's actually really really good. Like, if you look at their advanced numbers things like that, them together, the team played a lot better defensively. Offensively is where you run into things because now you have a clogged up paint.
No doubt.
And we know that right now, the way Jonathan Kuminga plays, I don't know if he's a stretch player to where he's going to be able to consistently knock down the mid-range and the long-range shots to warrant him playing the three alongside of Draymond and Trayce Jackson-Davis. It just feels like a clustered lineup, which then puts Jonathan Kuminga back on the bench to start games.
I think it's
a difficult tapestry.
My ideal lineup is you got to have Wiggins and Kuminga out there together. They've got to play together. And I think they did play after initially Steve Kerr saying, yeah, I don't know if we're going to do that. The numbers don't support that. And then we had no choice to play both of these guys together. I thought, boy, okay. And Steve Kerr mentioned yesterday, I know the day before he said, hey, there's four starting spots. The only guy who's guaranteed a starting spot is Steph Curry. Yesterday he said, no, look, Draymond's starting too. I'm thinking, but he's thinking about the shooting guard spot and whatnot. But ideally, I need Kuminga and Wiggins out there for the perimeter defense to lock people up because Steve Kerr's talking about defensively, they need to get scrappy. They need to get better. Well, I need two of my better athletes to be out there on the floor. That's Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga. Now, before we move on to Steve Kerr and how he wants the Warriors to play offensively, how about this quote in Marcus Thompson's piece in The Athletic this morning? Draymond Green said this, when you've built this bleep up from the laughingstock of the NBA, it feels a little different. I said to Joe Lacob 2 years ago, like, you should understand, I think about this organization like it's mine. No disrespect to them that own this, but I take a great deal of pride in what we built here. This is home for me. This is like Michigan State for me. Most people don't have an NBA home. I care what this organization looks like in 10 years. That's going to matter to me. I know I ain't done. I know who ain't done, as he's pointing to Stephen Curry, who returned an envelope of cash. That's a little subplot there. I wonder how much cash it was. So it ain't like, all right, I feel like I'm at the end. I'm cashing it in. Nah, we can do this again. I know we can do it again. I'm not a part of this that don't think we can't get it done. I'm not part of this group that think we can't get it done. But in doing it again, you've got to acknowledge that it's not going to look like it did before. I struggle if we were just cashing it in, which we know because in 2019, it was a rebuilding season and Draymond Green struggled playing that season. That ain't for me, but I don't feel like anyone around here is doing that. We're actively trying to put the pieces together to build. What do you think about that?
I think it's a word salad, and I think that Draymond needs to stop saying like wasted and like what was last year? How would he have described last year? Because when someone even referenced last year, he got all defensive and like, all right. So my point being is that, and this is part why I'm actually really happy for everyone that Clay is on another team, because it does feel like we're starting to shift our paradigm here as fans, and we should. And a part of me wishes Draymond also wasn't here, because I think it would be even easier, because then he brings up like things that are unnecessary. No one should be talking championship.
Yeah.
No one.
But he has a championship mindset.
No
though.
One.
But he's not saying that this team's going to win a championship. But he's saying that I want to build this thing back up to win championships. I had no problem with that.
make the playoffs.
No,
it's
I hear
the
that.
Same way, but you got to start somewhere. Like when a new guy comes in, like for Harbaugh, we're going to win the West, right? You got to start by making the playoffs.
No, you hear that.
The championship algorithm needs to be out the window.
That may be true. But for a guy that's won four championships, and basically the first 10 years of his career has been in the playoffs, you're not going to have that setting. You're thinking, how can we build this back up to be a championship team?
And it starts by making the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt. They all know that. But he's saying, we're here for the long haul. I've got a lot left in the tank. He's got a lot left in the tank, Stephen Curry. We want to build this up to be a championship team once again. So it's okay to say that. I don't think they're predicting themselves as
we're going to be champs. I think where it becomes contradictory, it's like, well, okay, championship caliber mindset players don't self-sabotage.
They don't. You're right about that.
Come on, man.
They're right about that.
All I'm saying is, it's like day three, and I'm already exhausted with Draymond.
Well, no, I'm not. It's whatever. we got a long way to go, buddy. Buckle
up. I'm well aware.
Buckle up. But
it's so refreshing where they're at right now because it feels like a new start.
I agree.
And they've got a lot of great positives.
Listen, and a lot of people are cutting them out. A lot of people are cutting them out, saying they're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to do this. They're not going to do that. And I think being the underdog again is going to be fun for this fan base.
Totally
you got
agree.
Stephen Curry. Draymond Green's got a chip on his shoulder. You got Kuminga trying to prove himself. You got Wiggins trying to bounce back. You got Podzinski trying to prove himself that last year wasn't a fluke. You got TJD trying to prove it wasn't a fluke. You got Looney. He's going to shoot more. Hit the game-winning three in practice yesterday. Go figure. He's going to shoot a couple shots. Listen, it is refreshing. It is refreshing that they've pivoted and they didn't mortgage the future to make some, Paul George. Because I don't think Paul George is helping his team win a championship. I don't. By giving up the pieces that they were going to give up for Paul George. I don't believe that would have happened at all. But I'm not mad at this opinion that Draymond's saying, I want to stick around here to help build this thing back up. We talk about athletes all the time showing loyalty to organizations or whatnot. I know Draymond has done a lot. Trust me. I know. I've been covered the scene for a long, long time. But it is refreshing, no matter who the hell it is, to say, hey, man, I want to help this team get back to the mountaintop. Now, you got a lot of money to back it up, but you've helped build this thing. I'm not mad at that, so I don't get why people are triggered by
what if there's
anything.
An inflection point? This is where I think I stand on. We have been living in the past for three straight seasons on the heels of one of the greatest championships anyone's ever seen. What if we reach the point where Draymond, and I don't think we're there yet, but what if Draymond isn't a part of the nucleus that takes you to the next step? Will he be willing to accept the fact that he has to take a reduced role? See, I think that's the part of all. See, it's great when you're still a key cog. What happens when you're a supplementary piece?
I think that's going to be interesting. But I actually think he could do that.
Well, let's see.
I actually think he could do that. As much as we said Clay couldn't do it, and Clay had a problem doing it, he ended up doing it, right? He ended up doing it, and he ended up balling. And we heard nothing about Klay Thompson the rest of the season.
I'm just so fired up for Kuminga, and I'm super stoked for him. And I can already see where this is going. Like, before this, they've even got out of camp, and it's like, we're really going to, you can only play the three here. Like, we need to widen the lane. I want to see Kuminga get free run.
I'm looking at the message what Draymond said. I'm looking at what Draymond said, and I'm reading between the lines here. He's not ready to be a full-time four yet. I think that's what Draymond is saying. I think we could all agree with that.
Who's the backup for?
And exactly.
Kyle
Who knows?
Anderson?
Who knows? Maybe it's slow-mo. And that's not bad. Maybe Looney with all the weight loss. He could be your backup for. It's interchangeable, right? They play positionless basketball at times. But I understand what Draymond's saying is that maybe he's not ready to be a full-time four yet. Because there's a lot of defensive things you have to do playing the four. You're playing in the post probably a lot. You're playing some bigs here. We got a lot of bigs in this conference. Nas Reed, and you're getting the foul trouble.
Yeah,
and all
does.
Of a sudden, you're blowing switches or whatnot. So right now, and I think what Draymond is trying to say, and I'm not going to speak for him, but the way I read it was, Kuminga's not ready to play a full-time four. His best position right now is the three and playing on the perimeter and slashing to the basket and cutting to the basket and maybe trying to catch and shoot threes here. Real quick, let's get a call in about the Warriors. Big Smooth in Oakland.
Yeah,
then we'll get to Jason and Chris here as we talk some Niners.
Hey, Smooth, what's happening? Good morning. Just hear me out here. Dasky, you're very irritating sometimes, but I love you. This is a compliment. I think Draymond knows. I want to hear from Draymond on the Warriors and what he thinks. Jasky, I know you know more than Draymond, but let's hear about from Draymond. Let me say this, guys. I'm very I'm very interested for this year. Let me tell you why. Because this team is a Swiss Army knife team. There are so many variations. Most teams have 7, 8, 9, and that's it. And then they start to fall off. This team can go 10, and depending on what Quentin Post looks like, this team could be very interesting, and they got the young legs to take them through the end part of the season. I think this team is special, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but right now, today, I feel much better about this team than the last year's team.
I agree.
This team
completely.
Has a defensive edge.
Yep.
This team has a defensive edge to it, and I'm telling you right now, man, listen, I agree with Draymond from this aspect. I don't see Kuminga as a four.
Yeah,
he's more of a three, but he's a different kind of a three.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a three that's going to put up a lot of shots, but he is a three that can block somebody down potentially. And listen, I believe this, and you can put me on the record on this. I believe this is going to be Wiggins' reemergence.
I'm with you. I'm buying stock in him. I'm dead serious, man. You guys are laughing. I'm dead free. I'm with you, Big Smooth. Real quick. I'm going to play this Kerr Cup before we get to the Niners. I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins.
I am. I'm buying a lot of stock in it. And the other aspect, too, of Kuminga playing a three, getting downhill, he gets to the free throw line. On a team that doesn't get to the free throw line a lot, Kuminga's one of your guys who's going to get to the free throw line. And here, real quick, I got to play this Kerr Cup about what they're going to do offensively.
We were fourth in the league in threes last year. But we lost Klay Thompson, right? So what I'm saying is I don't want to drop that top five. I think this team, in order for this team to win, you know, we need to shoot three. We don't get to the foul line a whole lot. We don't have, you know, the personnel to just generate points in the half court really easily. We've got to execute to do that. So for us to be successful, we want to shoot a lot of threes. And I think we have more depth to our three-point shooting this year than we did a year ago. So we want to fill that void that with Clay's departure brings, but we want to fill it with a lot of different people. And, you know, getting threes or dunks in transition, that's kind of the idea. And then in the half court, if you've got good spacing, you get more threes there.
More threes coming up, Shasky.
Does that mean Draymond and Trayce Jackson-Davis in that starting lineup are going to be hoisting?
Well, I think Draymond's going to have to hoist. He's going to have some open shots. Kevon Looney's going to hoist a couple. He wants Wiggins to shoot about 5 to 6 to 7.
Well, I do like Pods. Their bench. I mean, when you got Buddy Hield, Melton, and Kyle Anderson, even though Kyle doesn't shoot. Like, I really like their bench. I like their interest. Interested on Pajemski this year.
King's Tale, unnamed player, media day. Bonchek, we're going to win 50. We're winning 50 this year. I ain't mad at that. Not mad at it at all. All right. Hey, before we get Matt Lively on, stagger him because I want to squeeze in Jason and Chris before we get to Matt Lively. Jason, Chris, hang tight. I want to get to you before we get to Matt Lively. Stagger Matt Lively a couple minutes. Jason and Chris, you're on deck, but we'll bring in Matt Lively from KPIX, and he has the latest from 49ers practice on the other side. More coming up on the game, brought to you by the Veranda in Concord.
Time to play the game.
Hey, it's Brian from San Ramon. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Vontae and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Shanahan, run the ball.
It's all about the game.
Let's go. Let's go. We'll get Matt Lively on in just a second. Matt Lively in just a second. Where's Jay? Is Jason still on the line? We could get to we'll get to Chris and Clovis in 1 second here. I got to find this read. Oh, yeah, the most wanted tickets in the Bay Area are here. It's Hip Hop Made the Bay, and it did. Starring Too Short, Ja Rule, Bone Thugs, and DJ Quick. Friday,
where
November 1st.
Ja?
Yeah, Ja's going to be there. Ja's going to be there. Friday, November 1st at the SAP Center. Tickets are selling fast. Get yours now at Ticketmaster.com. Let's get to Chris and Clovis real quick, Spadoni. Chris and Clovis, and then we'll get the SAP drummer in Houston before we get to Matt Lively. Chris, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, baby?
Yeah, man. Let's talk about Juwan Jennings, man. This man is just having a great season so far, man. This is like the second coming of Anquan Boldin, the way he plays the game, bro. He may not be the fastest, but, dude, he's a dog.
He's a dog. He is a dog, and he's coming along, and he's playing very, very good football right now. He's a fan favorite. There's no doubt about Juwan Jennings. We'll get more on him from Matt Lively in just a second. Let's get our boy SF Bay Drummer on here before we get to Matt Lively from KPIX. SF Bay Drummer, what's happening, my man?
Morning, Vontae. Morning, Shasky. How y'all doing?
Man, doing great.
Doing great.
Man, Yeah, man. I wouldn't trade Ayuk, man. I still believe in Ayuk, man. I really think he can still get 1,300 yards, even though it's been, dismal four games or whatever. I mean, once he, you know, starts getting some targets and holding on to the ball, it could just build his confidence up, and then the offense will, keep going. And with the injuries we got on defense, and they're kind of, suspect right now, the offense really has to carry and, be better than the defense. So it's still, good weather. It's not the winter time yet. We'll still get it going, and I think IU can get it going. But I love Devontae, yeah. But still, he's really the dog. He really went through everything with us. So let us finish it that way.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Go Niners, let's go.
And you started the swagger that you pointed out, because I've been hearing that a lot. Baldy, you, my Barbara Powell's like, I ain't seen the swagger. And you know what? He caught that one dig route or that one drag route in the first game or last game where he only had two catches, the first catch, obviously. But you notice him when he started running down the sideline with the first down to the ball. It's like, I'm like, okay, are you? All right, he's starting to feel alive there. Starting to feel alive. What's up, man?
Nothing.
Look, what's wrong, man? You look a little flustered right now, Sasky.
I'm not flustered at all. I feel great.
a lot
of dog talk, though.
Like what?
This guy's got the dog in him. Oh, well, that guy's got the dog in him.
I'm with Jerry West. You got to be a wolf. 408 Comcast Business Text Line. Ask Bodoni when he's coming down to San Jose State University. We have not forgotten. Sparty wants you to speak to the class.
Sure, I'll do that. That sounds great.
So come random. On now.
No, seriously. Hey, hit me up at Spadoni _ Joe on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Slide in my DMs.
You know, Shatsky, that's the most joy I get out of this job.
What's
it's
that?
Not when people say, hey, man, I listen to you guys all
hanging
the time.
Out with me, I thought was at the top of that.
That's probably at the bottom. But, it's not that. It's when people ask us to go speak or MC somewhere. I'm like, damn. You want to hear from me? You want to hear from Shasky? You want to hear from Spadoni? Now, I don't know if the University of Miami's reached out to Lubman yet, but maybe Lubman will talk to the team.
It's a bit of a drive to get over there.
You could do it via Zoom. That is flattery, right? When somebody asks you to speak to them, I'm just like, man, that's awesome.
But what do you start with? Hi, I'm the king.
That helps.
I'll start with that.
No, I don't start with that. Someone else says, here comes the king. No. And then I start talking.
Well, there's trumpets, too, to play him in.
Dude, that Lubman.
How do you bring Matt Lively?
You
on?
Have That's been in know. Your bag this week.
Stop sucking up to him. Stop.
He actually has, medieval hair.
He's had a great week. Lubman has. He has a great week until he cut me off to give out the contest that he got wrong on Monday. I haven't forgotten
about
that.
No one remembers that.
I don't even remember that.
Oh, I do.
You know
oh,
that
I remember
yeah.
everything.
Okay,
I'm Petty Crocker,
Lubman
baby.
And I made a
I remember
pact.
Everything.
We did goof that up.
Did you hear about the pact
yeah, you
that
goofed
we made?
That up, not we.
We as a show have Matt Lively on hold right now, who's at practice yesterday, and I'm very curious to see
for
what
the
he
Niners?
Say.
Yeah, no, we've just been teasing
for
the last
Raiders.
Hour. Yeah, he's down in Las Vegas. Matt Lively, KPIX Sports Anchor. What's up, Matt? He's here on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.70 came up here on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Matt, the Roasters wanted you back, and we got you back, baby. What's happening, my man?
I'm pumped. Thanks for having me back, guys. What an honor.
It's awesome. By the way, real quick, catch them on the 49ers Experience Show Wednesdays with our boy Vern Glenn on KPIX. Yeah. Hey, Matt, you got to tell Vern Glenn to get rid of flip phone, man. He missed our call last Friday.
No.
He's got to get rid of the BlackBerry.
Man. He is a busy man. He's in demand.
He is in demand.
No. It was so good. Hey, Matt, was everyone wearing the same shorts yesterday at practice?
Black shorts all the way around. I was on the lookout, actually. I just wanted to make sure. I thought, oh, man, this would be some fun drama. But nope, all black shorts. Everybody's in line.
Did you bring the suntan lotion? Because I hear it was about 100 degrees out there in Santa Clara.
I needed one of those Hawaiian hats or maybe a Michael Jackson umbrella to carry around. It was bad yesterday, which leads me to believe when you see the rap sheet of injuries, maybe that's part of the reason we had so many guys who did not practice on Wednesday.
That makes sense. And I hear game time Sunday is going to be around 92 degrees. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be just as hot. I mean, you know how it is down on the field, too. All the heat just gets trapped down there. But, you know, these NFL teams have enough techniques, the ice cooling benches and things like that to keep these guys cool.
I'm just worried about our pregame walk, Matt. You know, are we going to get cooked up? Are we going to be sweating?
Pregame walk.
No, you do a little pregame walk. You know how I used to do it. We used to do overtime. I used to drag you to the stadium and say, I got to walk around the stadium once to get myself going.
And I would go, hear ye, here comes the king.
Well, no, Sassy the one time didn't even get it. And then he all of a sudden, Sassy got into the end zone. I was like, oh my God, Bonte, thank you so much. Thank you so much, man. This is unbelievable. We ran into Josina Anderson.
We did.
Yeah. See, Sassy,
I said what up to her.
You know, for a lot of things I do for Sassy, man, the disrespect is real. All right. Fred Warner, what's the deal with him, Matt?
They're calling it his ankle, which we knew from Sunday. He didn't play in the second half, which, by the way, he entered today with the 7th best odds for defensive player of the year.
7th?
It just feels – Nick Bosa is ahead of him, by the way.
What?
Come on, that's criminal.
Laughable.
So who's the other players ahead of him? Like, come on, man, you got to give us the list now.
Aiden Hutchinson is ahead of him.
One great quarter.
Miles Garrett is ahead of him. Boy, you put me on the spot now. But those were the names that stuck out to me. It still makes no sense how this guy's so far down the list. Anyways, didn't play in the second half. Still had an insane game. Did not practice yesterday. Had an ankle injury. I did see him running on the side there yesterday, about half speed during the media window. Ankle looked okay. The other thing with Fred Warner is he's missed one game his entire career. So, you know, he never misses games. This dude is relentless. But he did say, you know, he came out of the second half because he physically felt like he couldn't go. He would have been out there otherwise. So that did concern me on Sunday. But Fred Warner is a dude that I just don't see missing a divisional game when things are so tight right now.
Who are the running backs that they're working in at practice right now? We know Jordan Mason's just an absolute stud, but they got to get another guy involved here.
Yeah, so it's Jordan Mason, another Jordan Mason, and then you get to Isaac Grindo, who Kyle said has gotten most of those second rep snaps. He said that just yesterday. And then you've got Patrick Taylor. Right now it's Jordan Mason. And we keep saying week after week, okay, well, there's no way they can go back to Mason, you know, 15, 20 times again this week. Wrong. They just keep running this dude, and he seems to have no wear on him whatsoever. Obviously, it's going to catch up, but Isaac Grindo would be your running back too. They've just been hesitant, and then he has the issue on special teams last week, so it felt like he got put on the doghouse for a little bit. We'll see if they're able to work him in this week, but Patrick Taylor hasn't had a snap. They signed him from Green Bay in the offseason. I'm expecting him to eventually get in there.
Yeah, somebody needs to get in there. We're talking to Matt Lively from KPIX Channel 5 right here in the city. Does a great job covering all sports teams here in the Bay Area. Was at practice yesterday, a hot practice as the Niners get ready for the Arizona Cardinals. If Warner does not play, who, because it is a possibility, he's never missed a game before. And I want to go back to Warner for a second because that other linebacker, Devondre Campbell, has struggled, especially in pass coverage. And it's a concern this week with Kyler Murray in the backfield and James Conner and Marvin Harrison and Trey McBride, your tight end, is coming back here. Who would replace Fred Warner? Who should be on alert to get the start this week at linebacker? Fred Warner cannot go.
Well, we know that it's going to be Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles and then Campbell. D. Winters has been hurt. I think what could end up happening is Tatum Bethune from Florida State, Renardo Green's teammate, ends up having to step up big time this week. He would technically fill that spot. Kyle Shanahan, very hesitant of playing younger guys, but Bethune was pretty good in training camp and preseason, which I know doesn't mean a whole lot when we get into the regular season of things, but he might be called on. I will say I was really encouraged. The Cardinals have a great rushing attack. They've got James Conner, Trey Benson, the rookie looks good. The defensive line was impressive to me last week, given who they had out there. Sam Okwuanu, Evan Anderson, Kevin Givens. It sounds like they're getting Kalia Davis back this week, who was a beast during training camp and preseason. He might have been the MVP before he had the injury. I know this is preseason, but he had one drive in Nashville where that dude put down roots and bought a house in the Titans' backfield. So if it does come to that, I think your biggest issue of missing Fred Warner is who's going to contain with Kyler Murray running around. But the run defense looked better last week without Javon Hargrave. with a couple of rookies and younger guys, and so they're going to be asked to step up big if Fred cannot go. But then Bethune potentially in the middle of the field.
Sam Okwuanu, has he been flashing at practice before the last couple of weeks? I'd never even heard his name. And I follow this very closely, clearly.
He has a crazy motor. He's been said, ask my teammates, they hate me during practice because on scout team, he does not take a single snap off. And it's really evident that there's a lot of respect for him in the 49ers locker room. And I'm working on a story right now on Sam O, who has this incredible story, by the way, just to give you some context on where this guy's come from. He escaped the Civil War in Africa when he was 12 years old. His aunt helped him get him out. He actually got separated from his mother when he was in Africa. And he had to see some of the horrors of Civil War as a 12-year-old boy in his old country, in his own country. And I'll let you think about what that is. He comes to America. He loves soccer. He's playing soccer. And then all of a sudden, he starts sprouting and getting big. And his cousin goes, you need to play American football. So he starts playing football. He hates it. Oh, this is too physical. He quits after three games. Senior season comes around, and he goes, I'm going to start playing again. And he has like 17 and a half tackles. That was enough. Goes to junior college, plays at a junior college in Mississippi, then goes to a junior college in Minnesota where he becomes one of the best JUCO players in the country, and then eventually goes to Maryland, where he's a standout at Maryland, and then goes undrafted by the Tennessee Titans, who end up cutting him last season, and the Niners take a flyer on this guy. And the last two games, I mean, how good has Sam O looked? It feels like the Niners found gold, and he could be a staple on that line for the rest of the season.
Wow, what a story that is, man. Wow. Matt Lively here on the River Islands guest line. I'm going to ask you about a receiver, but not quite Brandon Ayuk, Ricky Pearsall. We thought his practice window may get open this week. Shanahan mentioned yesterday that he's not quite ready. What should Niner fans expect at all from Ricky Pearsall this season? We know he's gone through a lot already in his short career with the 49ers, but when can we expect him to be back on the practice field? Next week, the week after? What's going on with Pearsall?
Kyle Shanahan said that Pearsall is really close. I think there's a lot of things that you have to take into consideration with Ricky Pearsall. First off, you know, a bullet wound, where he took it as a wide receiver. Tough to say when he can actually come back into a full game, running routes and catching balls. There's a mental side of this as well, and the Niners said right off the jump they were going to have to kind of counsel back Ricky Pearsall that all the services were available to him. So we don't really know what's happening in terms of that aspect, but the Niners have been really quiet on Pearsall. I thought he would be back for this game, but obviously there's something that is preventing him that they're just not ready to let him go yet, which has now opened up all the talk for another wide receiver on the trade market.
Brandon Ayuk, Devontae Adams.
I've got a better question, Matt.
But I wasn't going to ask that. I was just going to ask, how does the team, how does the coaching staff feel about Ayuk's performance? Because I heard from Shanahan last week saying he felt like Ayuk played very well against Minnesota, just didn't get a couple opportunities because Brock missed him. How do you feel about Brandon Ayuk after four games of the season?
I still feel like we're not seeing the numbers you want to see from a guy that just got paid $120 million. It was nice that Brock connected with him on a 38-yard catch last week. That's what you want to see consistently. But, I mean, Brandon Ayuk said, you know, he still isn't where he thinks he needs to be. He is paid like one of the top wide receivers in the National Football League, and I think we all expected this slow start because he wasn't at training camp. And so we're getting to a point in the season now where you would have had a full training camp at this point, plus some. So, you know, it's time to start putting up those numbers that the 49ers expect you and the fans expect you to. I still don't think we've seen how good Ayuk is going to be this season. It took Nick Bosa 5 or 6 weeks last year to get in his groove. So we should be coming up on this stretch where Brandon Ayuk has got to be playing like wide receiver one. Because it feels like we just have to keep going back to Juwan Jennings.
Matt, as a newer guy to the area, what's your favorite restaurant currently?
Oh, man.
In this area.
Good question.
Yeah, I know. So I asked the hard-hitting
stuff. Is it Taco Bell?
What? Taco Bell is not a local restaurant. What do you do?
You know, it's very close to the office. I love Slice House. I will go up there and get me some Slice House.
Interesting.
Quite a bit.
Interesting.
Quite a bit. It's a good piece of pizza.
It is. It is a good piece.
I mean, if I'm going House of Prime Rib, I was lucky enough to get a reservation there.
Oh, thanks a little great, spinach?
Thanks to the great Fern Glynn.
Hey, Matt.
Within a year, that was fantastic.
Matt, all you got to do is drop Joe Shasky's name. It's top of the list, man.
It's true.
To say, hey, Shasky sent me here.
I know where I'm eating tonight.
I get the King's Cut. That's my particular favorite.
You know? I didn't know we were throwing around dollar bills like that.
Come on, you know what I'm saying? Matt, they always get on me about, quote unquote, hey, you're the king, Vontae, but this guy's flying Brie houses, country clubs, golfing everywhere. Now he's talking about the King's
I'm
Cut.
Remodeling
this guy
the
just throws
Relax.
Away, buddy.
Relax.
Can I put you on one more? Flour and Water and the Mission.
Oh, yeah, that's been around for quite a while. Yep. It's excellent, yeah.
It's a pasta spot,
oh,
right?
Man.
Flour and Water. Yeah, which one is that?
Well, it's pizza.
Pizza, Flour and Water.
There's a pizza shop in North Beach, but the actual Italian in the Mission is next level.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a good spot. It's a good spot. I like it, Matt. Good stuff. I'll see you this week.
I thought you was going to ask about that Brandon Ayuk.
We all know what's going on with Brandon Ayuk. We'll take Devontae. Like, what are you doing? Like,
we'll take Devontae
now.
Come on.
Like, what are we doing? I mean, like, come on.
Oh, man. All right, Matt. We'll see you on Sunday, man. Good stuff as always, brother.
See you, dude.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, man. Matt Lively, man. He's funny. He's a good dude, man. KPIX Sports Anchor for Channel 5. Catch him on the 49ers Experience Show Wednesdays with Vern Glenn on KPIX. I haven't been to House of Prime Rib in quite some time, man. I'm overdue.
It's been very difficult to get reservations.
Has it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really difficult. It's probably been 3+ years for me.
It takes a year to get a reservation now?
No. I don't know about a year, but I said it's been about 3 years since I've been there. You know,
I haven't been there in a while.
Do the same rotation of places. So,
yeah, I know. Just,
the Dugan family gets all my money. I mean, Elena's, Westlake Joe's. Joe's. They're just all. I go there all the time. We brought Grandpa there on Friday. He had the best time.
And his mother, Alana, was like, you want to go back to Elena's? I was like, yeah, next time. Yeah, I could get us in there. It's really? So she likes to go there like every weekend. It's like, no, we're going to hate
Adam, time. It's too much.
I'm not going to give you what my secret is. But we went in there on Friday.
Oh,
it was me,
did.
The little guy, and Grandpa and Michelle. And Grandpa's like, hey, really want to try the appetizers here. He was really like looking forward to trying it out. And he's like, I don't like spice. I don't like spice. This is what he says. I go, well, Grandpa, the queso's going to have a little kick to it.
Oh, Kings tell me. Kings tell me right now. Kings tell me.
Hear ye, quiet down, quiet down. The king has something to say. Your majesty, could you please tell us a king's tale from your travels across the realm?
Oh, the king's tale? What is the king's tale?
I didn't vote for you.
King's tale. Langford got married, what, a couple Saturdays ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're all at the table. Spadoni. Shasky, Michelle, myself, the lovely Etta. Met some new people, new friends. I forget their names. They went to USC. Yeah. They're really cool.
Both lovely couples. Good lovely looking couples. Excited to talk about Diddy.
Very, very. Yeah, you guys were too excited to talk about Diddy.
Yeah.
Too excited. Shasky's like, he'd rather talk Diddy than football or basketball.
I think at one point I was like, why are we talking about this at a wedding?
Same thing. I was just like, dude, like, enough of the Diddy.
Calling him Lube Derek.
I'd rather talk about college football. But we started discussing food. And Shasky's better half, Michelle Shasky, who I dearly love, we're talking about food and stuff. And you brought up the word spice. You want to talk about getting uncomfortable. You remember this, Spadoni. At the table, they're talking about spices or whatnot. Michelle goes, Joe, you don't like spice on your food. You
That's
don't like
lie.
Any spices.
That was a lie. It was a total lie.
And Shasky's face, he turned so red. And Spadoni and I looked at each other. It's like, oh, you didn't like to season your food? That's what Michelle said. She goes, Joe, you don't like seasoning?
This is what she said. Before me, you didn't. You guys have all eaten with me. Do I not? Do I do hot sauce? You asked
he
me.
He got so, at the table, he got so defensive. I looked at Ed and Joe Spadoni. I was like, no seasoning,
my
Joe?
My mom, God bless her. Love you. Love you, Noreen. I love you. My mom made buttered noodles, chicken, and broccoli every day for 15 years.
That's a good meal.
No, I know, but like spice wasn't a part of the Irish cuisine. I'm just telling you. And I love horseradish. Season. Like that's that right there, bang.
Joe Spadoni. You remember that?
He was also holding court at the time, and it felt like Michelle checked him a little bit.
Yeah, she was trying to check
me. She had to.
She had a couple drinks in her. She was feeling good.
It was like we're back on a morning roast. Nobody was getting any air time. It's like, yo, pass the rock, dog. It's 8 of us at the table. That's my King's Tale.
That's well, I'm glad King's you interrupted tale. My queso talk.
No, I'm sorry. Fuck. She goes, and then Joe goes, until I started dating you, Michelle.
He came
in very quick.
I admit that.
And she looked at him and goes, oh, okay.
She also likes chili flakes on everything. So that's, everything.
I was like, come up for air, Joe. Thank God, Michelle, you cut in with that one. Guy's talking ditty at a wedding, man. Who cares?
But it was the best part of the wedding.
No, it wasn't.
Besides Lubman.
No, yeah, there was a lot of kids. I tell you what wasn't the best part of the wedding. Alexander Scott. He's like, dude, you got to take a play off. I love you, A. Scott.
No, don't talk about that.
I love you, A. Scott.
He was doing Bonte impressions. Bonte came over. I thought you were going to fight him.
Now, why do you always tell I'm not going to fight you? I'm a lover, not a fighter. I don't like fighting. I don't like. No, well, he was exaggerating the story, and I had to check him on the story. He's like, no. This is how it went down. I tell the truth around here.
So,
I, Bonte Hill, will never lie to you. I was telling Alex Scott not to lie. Anyway.
I don't know if you know this, Bonte, but Sam and I made a pact this morning, the two of us. It's regarding the Warriors. Are you ready for it?
Uh-oh.
I'm excited to hear about this pact we agreed to as well.
Oh, you guys didn't agree to a pact. You're just
here's
up
the
with
pact.
It.
Here's the pact. Lubman,
can Lubman do it? Because I don't Lubman, know if
you,
I believe you,
bring
you
up
right
what,
now.
What, we are in, we're in synergy. We're in lockstep. Okay. We agree. Right,
we're in the zone.
Agree on the Warrior stuff. All right, what,
give
I
it to me.
Hear
give
this.
It to me, Lubman.
I gotta hear this.
Tell Bonte.
Oh my God.
What am I telling him? You're saying I agreed to a pact yesterday. I don't remember us agreeing
today.
To a pact yesterday.
This morning.
Oh, this morning. Oh, okay, yeah, I just said let's not, get ahead of ourselves and assume that the Warriors are going to go on a deep playoff run.
Yeah, no. I am suspending you from saying the phrase, on a deep run. We're not allowed to say it this year. We're not even going to do it. We're not going to do it. You
that
are not allowed
that my part of the
to say on a deep run at any point this year. It's just we're going to enjoy the season. We're going to see
Are you telling
where it
yourself
goes.
That?
No,
this
no,
is,
no,
this
no.
This is
no.
a fact between you
Could
guys.
Could they go on
no,
a
no,
deep
no,
run?
No.
I know
no,
how this goes.
No, stop.
We're not doing it.
No, come on.
We're just going to enjoy the ride.
This sounds like a personal problem.
We're getting in the inflatable raft, and we're going to see where the river takes us. We're not going to do this. We could go on a deep run thing. We're just going to see where it goes.
I didn't ban the use of that phrase.
I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
If you want to say it, that's fine.
I'm not thinking about a deep run.
I will not stop.
No, listen. When you have a team that won a championship.
There's two guys.
All right? No. I'm not talking about this season. This season's completely different. There's a change. And they're underdogs now. They're scrappy. Nobody expects anything from them. I brought up a no-name player winning 50 games, and you guys just laughed in my face. I was like, all right, fine. I'm going to do what I do. If you don't want to say deep run, do deep run. But I'm not going to get crazy here and say they're championship contenders.
Well, you know
they're
how this not. Goes. Like last year, we did it to the audience and we did it to ourselves.
No.
I mean, could they get hot and go on a run? Could they go on a deep run?
Well,
that's what we do. And I'm just picking on you.
No,
I'm saying
no,
the industry. That's what we do. Could they go on a run?
No, that's what the fans
could they get
do.
Hot?
That's what the fans do.
You know, and
the
next
pros,
thing you know, you look up, it's the Lakers in round two. And I mean, who knows?
Well, that what
you know, I mean, Jokic doesn't want to play us. You know?
Who says that?
People say that.
That's fans that say that. I don't even know where this is coming from.
Deep run talk.
Where's my Bob Fitzgerald drop? Stay off the internet, dude.
I live with these people. I love these people. They're part of my family.
I work with one of these people. We are not doing the deep playoff run
That's
talk.
That's what the fans do.
Can you agree with me?
If the fans want to say they're going on a deep run, let the fans say
this?
What they want to say.
I'll make you a deal.
I need you
to
right now.
If they go 18-4 to start the season, I will allow you to start talking
allow
deep
me to do
playoff
what?
Runs.
I will say
if
deep run right now.
If they go 15 games over 500 at any point this year,
hey Joe.
I will suspend the pact that I've made with Sam
Lubman. I'm not part of that pact. It's October 3rd. Hey, Jaska, I think the Warriors are going to go a deep run. What are you going to do, sue me?
I'm just not going to entertain it.
Nobody's thinking about deep run. I'm thinking about how they're going to shoot a lot of threes this year. I'm thinking how they're going to implement Kuminga and Wiggins together. Buddy Bucket, who I got to meet the other day. He's a fun guy. D'Anthony Melton. Oh, my Lord. You know I've always loved D'Anthony Melton. You know that.
Yeah, but there's a big difference between I really like D'Anthony Melton, I'm excited for Kyle Anderson, let's see how many minutes Kuminga gets, and they could go on a deep run.
Well, I mean...
Again, I'm having fun with this.
I know you are.
But you get where I'm going. Because we do like this, and I think it's unfair.
You're not talking to Guru here.
No, I didn't say you're it was. Talking I'm talking Hill. To our audience. And I'm telling our audience, I'm not going to do it to you this year. I'm not going to fake the funk. We are not going to pretend and put out this. Well, I mean, all the moves that they make have to be for championship contention. No. I am telling you, if you're setting your expectations that high, you're going to be disappointed.
Who is setting
I am here to say, you know what I want? Let's make the playoffs.
Wait. Just because